Whether you're in your smart car avoiding Hummers or you're in your house avoiding the J-Dubs, there's no avoiding us, The Drew Marshall Show, live through our website and right here on Joy 1250.
I know many of you will find this hard to believe, but this is my number one workout song. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Please don't imagine.
Are you being real?
No.
Good.
This and ABBA.
Oh, no, ABBA's good.
That's what I work on. Come on.
ABBA's fantastic.
My number one choice for working out music is the bagpipes. Seriously. I'm serious. You're looking at me like I'm joking again. No, I'm serious. They get me just fired up.
Really?
Yeah, like William Wallace.
You wear a skirt with that, too?
Stop it. Folks, you're listening, believe it or not, to The Drew Marshall Show, and we are giving you a number of authors to check out for a little summer reading, and we're moving on to our next author, Emily Waringa. It took me, 4 years to learn how to pronounce your name. Remember that? I just didn't know how to do that at the beginning. She is the author of a number of books, but today we're actually going to talk about two of them. The first one is Mom in the Mirror. Actually, you've only written two books.
Three, actually, but the first doesn't really count.
What was the first one?
Oh, it was called Save My Children. It was commissioned. We don't have to worry about it.
Okay. Okay. All right, moving along. This one is called Mom in the Mirror, Body Image, Beauty, and Life After Pregnancy. This book is for every woman who has ever doubted herself or her self-worth after the birth of a child. Isn't that every woman after they've had a child?
Absolutely. That's why we wrote it. Yeah.
Amen. Preach it, sister.
Okay. This is going to get really chickified here.
I'm so excited to have you here.
Oh, man. What would you say would be the number one issue that women hit, the first issue they hit after childbirth? Ooh, I'm fat. Look at my body. This child wrecked me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say anxiety. And with that comes self-doubt, and with that comes self-hatred. So I think the weight just exasperates all of it. And just dealing with food is a way to deal with anxiety. So food is just either a way to stuff it down or to numb it.
Would you say that this is, you know, I don't want to over-dramatize the thing here, epidemic? Would you say this is epidemic proportions?
Yeah, I think it's...
Or is it just because we're North American and we're so self-focused?
Yeah, pretty much.
okay.
But I also think it stretches all the way back to Eve.
I don't think you should use the word stretches.
Okay.
Stretch marks all
marks
the way back
afterwards.
Okay.
And, you know, Eve was the first one of us to doubt that God loved her, you know, and to try and take things into her control. And so I think since then, women have just been battling that, you know, doubting that God loves us and trying to get things under our control. And children, they're just the most anxiety-ridden little people. Like, they just bring you so much anxiety and joy. And so you become desperate to get that control back.
Folks, in the studio with two ladies who are going to pretty much take this segment over because I don't have a clue, and I guarantee I'm going to say yet another really stupid thing. It's a gift. Emily Waringa, she's the author of Mom in the Mirror, Body Image, Beauty, and Life After Pregnancy. And Erin Faye Franz, she is the author of The Essential Elements of Sex. So, when you do your job, Erin Faye,
yes,
that leads to the stuff that Emily is talking about. Post-pregnancy, there then is some sex issues, usually, typically, sometimes,
yes.
Always, women aren't feeling great because this body was now used for, you know, an alien came out of this body now.
Which watermelon.
Yeah, watermelon, yeah, that's right. And they're like, oh my goodness, the last thing I want to do is have sex. And then maybe we're just pulling away totally. The romance goes right out. The intimacy goes right out the window. Does this happen a fair bit?
Oh, all the time.
Really?
All the time, yes. And I think women, you know, are so vulnerable during that time. I say that's one of the three significant times in life where your, you know, sex life can completely go off the rails, you know, because you're taking care of this little being that just latches onto you literally and figuratively and needs you all the time. But you're also dealing with your own stuff and your own body image. And body image comes up in the area of sexual intimacy all the time, all the time. I mean, I'm sure that you can do that. You know, you had this checklist in your book. Mm-hmm. And And I'm going to be honest with you, I read through it and I didn't even score myself because I was too intimidated to score myself. And my question
to you. Whoa. You were intimidated?
I was.
Why?
Because I've got hang-ups just like any other woman out there.
Let's talk about those hang-ups.
No, she's the guest.
Hey, I don't mind.
But but my question for you, is there any woman who does well on that test?
Only if she's lying.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe that.
You know, I think there are women that have more self-confidence due to factors in their life, perhaps upbringing, due to personality. But we all struggle to an extent at some point in our life. And I think it's safe to say that pregnancy is a time when every single woman struggles a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Huge trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Erin, can you find the checklist, please, for me in the book? I'm just passing that over to you. Emily has brought a couple of her books here, Chasing Silhouettes, which we're actually going to chat about in a little bit with Hannah Chaplin. So right after this, I just want you to make sure that you know what's coming up here, folks. Two Artists, One Disorder, an open and honest discussion about anorexia nervosa, starring Hannah Chaplin, a recording artist we've had on our show a number of times, and Emily Waringa. You really, I don't know, you're like a Renaissance woman.
Oh, nice.
I don't know. I'm not quite sure what that means, but, well, you're a painter and an author.
Yes.
You're ridiculously creative. Are you still really hard on yourself?
Well, isn't every woman? Isn't that why we're here to talk about this?
Yes. Yes. Do you think men have a role to, in other words, typically, it's men's fault.
No.
You sure?
No, we blame men, but I don't think it's their fault. You know, I think we just need someone to blame, and so we turn to the people closest to us, most particularly our husbands, you know, our partners. Mm.
Did you take it out on your husband?
Yeah.
Wait, how many children did you have?
I have two.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You remember when I knew you and you didn't have two?
I do, and doctor said I couldn't have any. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's another book, folks.
That's a whole other thing.
So, two children, and were you angry with your husband for stuff? Did you take any of your stuff out on him?
Well, you know, I think it's just you're angry at how you're not losing weight fast enough, or you're not, you know, getting the baby to sleep fast enough, and you're not doing all these things enough. And he's standing there with his own parenting style, feeling very confident in his body because he didn't have to go through any of the sacrifice. I mean, the bodily sacrifice, the physical sacrifice.
Yes.
And yeah, so he's an easy dartboard, you know. So, yes.
I want to read a few things from the checklist here. What is this checklist all about?
It's basically a quiz to see where you rate if you just struggle with mild disordered eating or if you have a severe eating disorder.
Okay, so this specifically ties into eating disorder in regards to being a mom and recovering afterwards?
Body image.
And body image? Mm-hmm. Okay. If you suddenly gained 5 pounds, you'd feel, and then there's a whole bunch of descriptors here. I won't go into all the descriptors. How often do you diet or otherwise limit what you eat? How often do you criticize your body, out loud or not? What's your primary reason for exercising? Have you ever exercised when you've been sick or injured? Do you ever purge, whether by vomiting, taking laxatives, or exercising excessively to get rid of calories? Do you feel like your eating is out of control? How often do you think about food or about what you'll be eating next? Do you ever worry about your child's eating habits or body size shape? If your child is or became overweight, how do or would you feel? Have you ever tried to... Hold on. I've got to stop there for a second. We don't want fat kids.
No, but...
Is that bad?
No, it's not bad in the same way that we don't want super skinny kids. We want healthy kids, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Have you ever tried to lose weight by eating a low-calorie restrictive diet? Really, is that bad?
Yeah, I think because your motive behind it...
Oh, is really where it's at.
Yes.
Right. So in the context of all these questions is really what we're getting at.
Yeah.
Do you often dress to hide your flaws? Isn't that what clothing is?
Your body's one big flaw.
Yeah, that's why we dress. I thought, let's go right back to the garden, right? Isn't that the issue? Do you ever compare your body to others, whether to celebrities or friends? Do you worry about controlling how much or what kinds of foods you're eating? There's only a couple more. How often does physical hunger dictate whether you eat? How often do you eat what you want to eat? How often do you weigh yourself? How often do you weigh yourself, Emily?
Never. I don't own a weigh scale. When I go to the doctors, when I'm pregnant, I turn around. I tell them I've had an eating disorder, and that's just mm-hmm. a trigger, so mm-hmm. I have to protect myself.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Have your kids ever heard you say something negative about your body? By the way, this triggers something for me. This is the Father of the Year award I'm about to explain to you. My daughter and I share the same birthday. For her 16th birthday, we were going to go to a fancy restaurant. I was running a little late, so I came in the door. Come on, let's go. We got reservations. Where's Jessie? Well, she's in the bathroom. Okay, let's go, Jess. I can hear her crying. Mm. What's going on with her? Well, she's not happy with what she's wearing. Her clothes aren't fitting her properly. And Father of the Year award. I go to the fridge, take the picture of the sponsor child off the fridge and slide it under the door and basically say something like, you want something to complain about? Think about what this kid, you know, just doesn't have any blah, blah, blah. What an idiot I am. Okay, let's say was. Okay, I'm getting better. I realize that was not the coolest move. Can I get an amen, ladies?
Amen.
Okay. All right. Last couple of ones here. How often do you eat the same food as your children? Let's say you were just told that this is it. Your body shape will never change regardless of how you try. How do you feel? Do you think that that there is any difference in the church in how we view our body stuff or body issues versus people outside the God scene?
Sadly, no. I actually just wrote a blog post on modesty and how I think we're just focused on it from a very dangerous angle. We make women into objects in the same way that society does, only we make them into icons of Christianity. Instead of treasuring them as living vessels, you know, that produce life, we say, wear this, don't wear that, you know, put on your purity ring and look the image. So I think it's a very dangerous subculture that's breeding a lot of low self-esteem in our girls.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that mm-hmm. was massive. Mm-hmm. So this is a blog you've just... Oh, so this is on mm-hmm. your site, emilywaringa.com. Is it CA?
emilywaringa.com.
It would be .com because there's no other Emily Waringas. There can't be.
Are,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so I did read that blog post because I was profoundly moved by it. And you make a statement, modesty is a despised word mostly because we're hurting. And we're hurting because we don't feel seen. We just want to be set free. Which I hate the word modesty. Mm. I really honestly do. And I thought, oh, she's getting to the heart of the matter of why. So unpack that a bit for me because I'm very curious about that.
Mm. Well, you know, I know that Christian women hate the word, and I'm like, okay, the church has potential. How can we unpack that potential? You know, instead of just being angry and rejecting the church, let's go to the heart. And, you know, I'm a disillusioned pastor's daughter who really...
Me too!
Jeez. And we're going to have a little therapy session. Here we go. They're high-fiving each other. Oh, man. Yes, Emily?
So, we've been burned by the church, but you know, now, you know how a fire kind of regenerates growth afterwards? Yeah. I feel that happening in me, and instead of running away from the church, I want to go to it and say, look, these beautiful women long to be set free within your church. How can we do that?
Wow.
Can we get back to the guy's point of view here for a second? Because I'm feeling very outsider here and very awkward. But like I just said to our second last author, Michelle Borges, I can't remember how to pronounce her name. Borges, yeah, I said it right. I said, and I thought she was a very attractive woman. So I said, you know, she was talking about life after divorce. Mm-hmm. I said, what was that like for you moving on in love? Because you were a very beautiful woman. And I would imagine that as soon as they found out you were single, all the creepers came out of the woodworks. That was my question, right? And then I started going in my brain thinking, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said you're a very beautiful woman. Is that bad to say? Like, how do I do that? How do I handle? Because... Here's another example. I see somebody, they've lost some weight. Boy, you look great. Oh, man, you look fantastic. And then my internal commentary is, especially with guys I play baseball with who are old, like, oh, maybe he's dying or got cancer or something, right? That's the only compliment you're worried about with old guys. And then ladies, you're like, oh, man, they got an eating disorder. Maybe I shouldn't say anything. Like, I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know whether to open a door for a woman or let them walk through it themselves. What do I do?
Stick with the old-fashioned.
Okay.
Open the door.
Okay.
Open the door.
Yeah.
All right.
We miss that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What about the compliments?
Yeah, that's a tricky one, especially with women. Yeah, I would say it's okay to compliment them, but do it, yeah, definitely in a non-creepy kind of way that says that says I value you.
Right.
You, I see you're a beautiful woman of God, you know.
No, I'm not going to, Emily.
Come on, Drew. Come on.
You know I'm not going to. I can't
have to
even
say
get
that
out of my mouth.
You don't have to say that, but think that. Think that. Think this is my sister in Christ. How would I treat my sister? So you don't have to say it, but even if you think that, the way you say it will be different.
What about fathers' responsibilities to tell their daughters that they're
yeah.
beautiful?
Oh, it's so important. It's so important.
So don't take the sponsor child off the fridge.
No, keep her on the fridge, definitely, so that all your children see. But, yeah, don't take her off and slide her under the door.
No, okay, right. Okay. Yeah. Right, got it, yeah. So father's responsibility, helping their – look, I'm terrified. I've said this so many times. I am terrified of having a breakdown in relationship with my daughter, terrified, because I know how important a dad is to a girl, to the girls, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So let's stay on this focus for just for a second. We're asking way so many questions about mm-hmm. so much more than just, you know, okay, I've had kids and now what do I, how do I think about myself? Father, give us some advice to dads out there.
Okay, well, one thing I would have loved from my dad is, you know, compliments. The other thing I would have loved is an apology, you know, for when he didn't give those compliments. If you've messed up, that's okay. We're all human. We know that you're human, but fess up to that. Hmm. You know, say, listen, honey, I'm sorry. I haven't been there for you, but I want to start trying. You know, sorry goes a long way.
Mom in the Mirror, Body Image, Beauty, and Life After Pregnancy. By the way, who's Dina Cabrera?
Yeah, she's my co-author.
Yeah.
Dr. Dina Cabrera. She works at Rosewood Institute, and she works with eating disorder patients. Hmm. This book is actually her baby. I wrote the majority of it, but it's her baby.
Okay, so you did the real work. So you're the person I should copy off of from tests and stuff like that. Ideally, after someone reads this, what are you hoping will change in their life? What are you hoping this book will be able to permeate to rock their world by what?
You know, honestly, I'm hoping it will lead all of God's lost daughters back to Him. So I'm hoping our true Father will just wrap us up in His arms through this book, because I think that's the only way our self-esteem will rise.
Wow. Can I ask a question on self-esteem?
Oh, fine. What are you, my colleagues?
Okay, so I have a 9-year-old daughter who evidently is going to get hooked up with Tim's son if
yeah.
everything goes well.
Yeah, this is just weird.
No, and she was 7 when a little boy in her class told her that she was fat. Which she's not in any way, shape, or form. And even if she were, he had no business saying that, right? But she's not.
Yeah, but kids are stupid and say
kids
stupid stuff.
Stupid,
and there's pecking order, and you're never going to stop bullying. Sorry, I'm on a rant.
I get that. But I had to deal with her devastation at home and talk through the whole self-image thing and am I really fat and all this sort of stuff. So I'm curious, because you have boys, right?
Yes.
I'm curious what you're doing as a mom to talk about these things with your boys so that they don't exacerbate the problem with the girls.
Mm-hmm. You know, my boys are only 3.5 and 2.
Oh,
but
I
know,
need wisdom.
I'm still actually talking to them about it. I'm warning them. I'm saying the world is a really messy, broken place, and people are going to say some really awful, untrue things because there's an enemy. And I've taught them about the enemy already, because I think if our children know when they enter the schoolyard that he is just as work there as anywhere else, they'll be aware. They'll be like able to filter the lies from the truth if you train them at home. You know, so just keep speaking truth to them, and then they'll be able to recognize the lies when they go out into the world.
Well, with chapters that deal with bruises from the past, misconceptions about pregnancy, life before and after, children, marriage and motherhood, spiritual and physical nourishment, relationships with friends and family, and the changing role of a mother as her children age, this book is a holistic approach to the age-old questions, who am I and why am I here? Emily, we're glad you're here. You're not leaving. We've got to kind of change gears a little bit, because really throughout these books, obviously, is the eating disorder stuff. But this book in particular, Mom in the Mirror, Body Image, Beauty, and Life After Pregnancy, can be bought where?
In any bookstore.
Any fine bookstore near you.
Yeah, or Amazon.com.
Okay, usual places. Mm-hmm. We typically don't need to highlight that to people. When we come back from our short break, we've got two artists. and one disorder to talk about. This is going to be an open and honest discussion about anorexia nervosa. I'd already booked Emily for the show. And Emily's been on before, and we've talked about her battle with eating disorder. And then this week I got an email from a friend of mine, Hannah Chaplin. Love her to bits. Baptized her 8 years ago. What an honor. Like, I was just blown away that she asked me. Obviously, she doesn't know me that well. She never asked me to do that. Great singer. Talented recording artist. And she just sent an email to me on Thursday, I think, Wednesday or Thursday, saying, hey, just wanted to let you know I've started a blog. It's a 30-day challenge to myself to sort of tackle head-on my own eating disorder. And I thought it was so ironic that she sent me that email the same week that you were on, Emily. And I saw her earlier this week downtown in my hometown. And I thought in my own brain, okay, she's looking a little thin, and I didn't know how to deal with that in my own mind. And, you know, you don't want to go off into some drama issue in your head and, oh, she's got eating disorder, but she does. And so what a fantastic opportunity for her to be able to talk to you. So this is like some
serendipity?
Yeah, no, well, it was very serendipitous, but it's sort of like, you know, the lady who's really walked through this journey a lot, talking to the young girl who's just kind of right in the thick of it. Yeah. So this is fantastic, a fantastic situation. So thank you for being here. And I guess I'm looking upwards to God to say thanks for sort of arranging this. Yeah. Okay. A very short break on our show. And that's what's coming up next when we do come back. Speaking of great music, a little Aretha Franklin.
Another day.